Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back. What up? It's AWOD Radio, live and local, here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We're going to take the show on the road today to Raleigh, North Carolina, for NC State hosting VCU. My pregame coverage will start right here at 6:15. Robbie Robinson and Rodney Ashby will be on the call just after 7 p.m. here on Richmond's home for VCU basketball. But it is another misery Monday as we cruise through the NFL season. Commanders have now lost 6 games in a row. It is their 8th loss of the season, and this one came in heartbreaking fashion in overtime to the Dolphins. This one hurts. It's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for some?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
So Washington loses in Madrid 16-13 in overtime to Miami. And you know, I told you guys why this one hurts so much. We had that game won, up 13-6 in the fourth quarter. And you had a turnover on downs from the one-yard line and a missed field goal. You don't score in the fourth quarter, it's hard to say you deserve to win the game. But let's revisit the keys to victory first. And I think this is what drives me crazy. This is part of why this one hurts. We've been trying to collect the keys all season long, like we're Mario running around Mario Super Galaxy. And yet this time we actually collect the keys and still don't win the game. The first key to victory for the Washington Commanders was for Dan Quinn's defense to make a change and for Dan Quinn's defense to get a 3-and-out. And they start by giving up a field goal and then another field goal. But on the third defensive drive of the game, Washington forced a 3-play 3-and-out and a 3-play 7-yard loss for the Miami Dolphins and forced a punt. Fellas, we received our first key to victory. Things were looking good. Second key, to run for 120 yards. And for Marcus Mariota to have 34 or more yards on the ground. At one point, this team was 15-3 when they ran for 100 yards and the quarterback had 34 or more. That has not happened anytime soon. We have been able to run the ball in recent weeks. Our quarterback has ran. We have not had the result. Once again, we got the running yards. We did not get the result. Chris Rodriguez, 79. Bill with 28. Over 100 as a team. Marcus Mariota, 49 yards. Just not good enough. Did get the second key to victory. Third key to victory was to get Deebo Samuel going. He got into the end zone. A 28-yard catch and run. 8 targets, 7 receptions, 74 yards. Wanted him to get 75, but you know what? They handed it to him one time for 3 yards. He got his key. We got all 3 keys to victory. Pathway to success in this game was more sacks on Tua than Marcus Mariota takes. We got that. It was to take a lead in this game and to give our defense a lead to play with. We got that. We got all the keys. We should have won the game. We did everything we needed to do to win this game. It's part of why it hurts so much. That's the keys to victory. Let's get to the 10 takeaways. Takeaway number one here is that the offense moved the football down the field throughout the entire game. I just thought that Cliff Kingsbury had a solid play call for this entire game, except for maybe, you know, that final drive there in the fourth quarter, or the one in the red zone right before that. I think he called a great game for 3 quarters and not overtime or fourth quarter. I'll give him that. But I thought for the most part of this game, 3 quarters, we were a step ahead of the Dolphins offensively. They didn't really know what we were going to hit them with. Either it was Marcus Mariota running or Rodriguez, some hard running up the middle, a little bit of Debo. I thought we had a solid game from Zach Ertz for the most part until the fourth quarter when he started having his penalties, and then he falls on the biggest play of the game. But the offense moved the football. Takeaway number two, the defense got off the field. And again, this is going to be lost because it was a loss. And in a losing effort, it's hard to compliment coaches or players, but the defense did their job. They held the Dolphins to 3 of 9 on third down, 0 of 2 on fourth down, got 2 red zone stands that were massive for this team, and Miami made 5 red zone trips, only had 1 touchdown in all of those red zone trips. The defense got off the field. Takeaway number 3, red zone issues once again really hurt us. And it's been the case for a lot of this season. And once again, I don't think we have that touchdown play. Last year, it was McLaurin's 13 and Zach Ertz is like 8 or 9. Ertz has taken a step back. McLaurin hasn't been on the field. Where is our touchdown play? Who's our touchdown playmaker? It's been Debo. He's not that good of a red zone threat because you kind of have to throw it to him and then allow him to run it in. We don't have that big, tall target to find in the back of the end zone with Zach Ertz struggling and Terry McLaurin not being on the field. That was the biggest thing I noticed with the red zone issues. Takeaway number 4. How many times are we going to lose the games this year and look back and say, oh, we lost the turnover battle? Pretty much every loss this year for the 3-8 Washington Commanders, who turned it over twice. Mikey Sanders' fumble, Marcus Mariota's fumble, interception. We made up for the Sanders' fumble with a defensive stand. Can't say the same about Mariota's interception in overtime. Takeaway number 5, I really thought that the defense was aggressive. And once again, it's going to be overlooked because it was a loss, but we had not seen an exotic blitz under Joe Witt where a corner is off screen and he ends up blitzing and takes down the quarterback with a sack. Or the play that Jacob Martin had a really good edge rush in which he stayed disciplined and did not go for the fake, and he brought down Tua for a big sack and a big loss there on a third down. The defense was aggressive. Takeaway number 6, the defense, though, still cannot stop runs on the outside. And I thought they got better at this at the second half, as I think it was like Preston Smith and Von Miller really letting the coach know, hey, I am not going to get beat on the outside. And then there was a play in which they didn't get beat on the outside, and then the running back still cut back inside, H-handed, and got like 9 yards. But I thought that defensively in the second half, they really did, hey, we are going to try our damn best to make sure that we don't let people run around the outside. Problem was, it was a little too late for that. Takeaway number 7, again, I thought that your head coach made changes, your coordinators made changes, I thought we improved after half. Debo got going is takeaway number 8. Takeaway number 9, we have to play Ben Sennett more or draft a tight end. Why is Colson Yankoff the one making plays as a backup tight end there? Ertz's false start, Ertz's drop, Ertz falls, Ertz is not good enough anymore. We should have seen this coming. We absolutely should have seen this coming. He was old last year. Whoa, he found the Holy Grail. He's turned back the clocks. No, that's not the case. Last year, he played really good, But there were so many other weapons, right? You had to keep an eye on De'Ami Brown, two eyes on Terry McLaurin. We were able to run the ball with our quarterback and a couple of different running backs. I really think Austin Ekeler, losing Austin Ekeler was a huge just punch in the face for this offense because he was an explosive playmaker. We have not had those explosive plays. And so when Ertz goes from, you know, target three to target one and he's at this point in his career, it's not good enough. And he's trying to do too much, and that's why he's false starting here because he's trying to time the snap count perfectly so that he gets, you know, a millisecond ahead of the defender because he needs that. He needs that. Takeaway number 10 is I thought they played much better for Dan Quinn. To me, that is a fact. If you want to argue that the defense didn't take a step forward, I'll go toe-to-toe with you for the rest of this season, for the rest of this week. They definitely got better. We were allowing touchdowns galore. Look at the scores of the last few weeks. We held the Dolphins to 13 points of regulation. The defense definitely got better for Dan Quinn. I don't know how much better they will continue to play for Dan Quinn. Maybe it was a one-week mirage. Maybe the Dolphins just that bad offensively. But they definitely played for Dan Quinn. Blame pie, 50% of this loss goes on the kicker, Matt Gay. 50%. I had no faith in him to make the long one after he had missed one already in this game. Two missed kicks, that's 6 points. You lose by three. 50% of the blame's on kicker, Matt Gay. I'm putting 15% on Marcus Mariota here. The interception was awful. It was late. Don't throw it. Throw it away. You have played enough football to know that was a rookie mistake, not a veteran move there. 15% of blame on Mariota. 15% of the blame goes on Cliff Kingsbury because, one, the play calling on that in the fourth quarter was just not as good, especially on the drive that got down to the goal line and then was held on fourth down. If you're calling a play and the option is to an older Zach Ertz, you need other options. It's as simple as that. I didn't think Cliff Kingsbury was good enough in the fourth quarter as a play caller. And then especially on the drive where you got to field goal range and then you stalled and you threw it deep on third down and are asking Matt Gay to bail you out by hitting a 56-yarder. No, you should have moved forward and asked him to kick a 49-yarder. 15% on Cliff Kingsbury, 15% on Mariota, 10% on Mikey Sanders still. It's not just the drop punt, but he also dropped an interception that could not have been more in his hands. And I don't think it ended up being a game, losing play, but we lost the turnover battle, and Mikey Sanders still had a turnover and dropped another turnover. He deserves 10% of the blame. 10% of this blame I am putting on Adam Peters, and this is the first time that I've ever put any blame on Adam Peters. I've been, oh, Adam Peters is perfect. I can't say that anymore because he dropped the ball on the kicking position in the National Football League. He dropped the ball on it. It's been 2 years of Adam Peters relying on nobodies to kick field goal for this team, and it's lost us another game. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Live and local here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. You've got the 804 broadcast game of the week every Friday night here on The Fan. Your home for Hokies and Hoos and the most NFL coverage in town. We've got the Westwood One play-by-play Monday Night Football tonight, and here on Richmond's home for the Commanders, you can hear every single Washington Redskins game. But we're going to recap the action from the weekend that was college football here on University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
So we'll start with the losses in the top 25, because I expect the college football rankings to be shaken up quite a bit when they get released on Tuesday night. Here's how it works. Tuesday night, the committee reveals their college football playoffs top 25 and the latest 12-team college football playoff bracket that includes one team from each of the P4 and a G5 school. We'll be interested to see if that is JMU now, as we recap the top 25 action. And Navy beat South Florida 41-38 in what ended up being one of the games of the weekend. Navy had a big lead. South Florida came crawling back in that one, little too late. They lose. That defeat that Florida State suffered really probably ends their season. It gives Navy an outside shot looking in, but that was huge to open the door for JMU to lead the way in terms of the G5. Cincinnati was having a good season. The Big 12 was looking to possibly get two or three teams in. Arizona knocks them down 30-24. Cincinnati's eliminated. USC, Iowa. That was a thriller. USC wins 26-21. The Trojans are still alive. Lincoln Riley looked like he was going to end up on the hot seat at the end of this season. Now he couldn't end up coaching his team into the CFP. That was a big win. Iowa's been unlucky in the last two games. Pitt was my school that I thought could maybe backdoor in from the ACC. Notre Dame torched them 37-15. From start to finish, Notre Dame was the better team, and they are going to be in the CFP because I don't expect them to lose from here on out, and they won't play in a conference championship game, obviously, as they are not committed to the ACC. So Notre Dame is pretty much a lock, which I think will take a spot away from an ACC team or a Big 12 team there when we get to the 12-team final bracket that will get revealed. Texas had an unbelievably bad start to the year with the loss to Iowa State, and Arch Manning was not as good as everybody thought he would be. He was thrown into the fire, and he looked like a rookie. And then they lost at Florida. But slowly, steadily, they worked themselves back in it. And they had an opportunity to be in the college football playoffs if they took down Georgia. Georgia beat them easily, 35-10. I don't want to hear any Longhorns fans say, well, yeah, but if they beat Texas A&M. No, you had three opportunities to beat teams that would have built you a resume to be in the college football playoffs. You lost those games. You don't deserve to be in. Texas season is over. Oklahoma shocked Alabama. Alabama will still be in. They'll still be ranked in the top 10. Oklahoma will jump into the top 10 now. They will take Texas's spot as probably the fifth SEC team that could get in. Louisville's season ends as Clemson squeaks by them 20-19. So let's get to the local schools here, and I think we start with UVA. There were teams around the country that were trying to make statement wins. I'm not sure there was a team that had more of a statement win than the UVA Cavaliers. The Hoos put on a show against the Dukes and against Duke. And I had said coming into this matchup here, look, this is not basketball and Cameron Indoor and the Cameron Crazies. At Duke should not be a game that is that impossible for UVA to win. They had to have a good game plan. They had to go out there and execute, not turn the ball over, and that's what they did. Chandler Morris, welcome back. 23 of 35, 316 yards, tosses two tutties in a big win for Virginia, 34-17. He looked good. He looked confident. And it's good to see that he was able to play, getting through the concussion protocols in that one. So they were able to run the rock, though, and I think that was the game. And it wasn't really Chandler Morris. It was Jamari Taylor being awesome. 18 carries, 133 yards, two touchdowns as UVA jumped out to a 7-0 lead, went into the break up 17-3, and ended up cruising to victory 34-17, even though the Blue Devils, you know, got some garbage time points there in the fourth quarter. I think this game was won by UVA's defense. You know, the offense was solid, but Morris had a couple of picks. But this defense by UVA, they held Duke to 42 yards rushing. That is terrific. In their building, too. UVA gets a solid win, moving to 9-2. They are now 6-1 in the ACC. Georgia Tech, 6-1 in the ACC. Pitt and SMU are still alive, both at 5-1. But right now, with one game left, Virginia will host Virginia Tech. And that win would clinch them a spot in the ACC championship game. I do think they would probably have to win that because it feels like the way it's going to play out, it's going to be at least four SEC. It's going to be three at least Big Ten. It's going to be one Big 12, one ACC, the independent being Notre Dame, and a G5. And that's all she wrote. I don't really see a chance for the ACC to get two teams in. The only way, I think, is if Georgia Tech beats Georgia. Georgia Tech plays Pitt this weekend, have to win that one, and then Georgia on November 28th. If they get a win against a top five team in the country, I think that record of 11-1 and 7-1 in the ACC, you could see Georgia Tech lose to Virginia. Virginia's in, Georgia Tech's in, ACC gets two schools in. I don't see any other way. Pittsburgh was the opportunity because they had, you know, Miami, Notre Dame, and Georgia Tech on the schedule. SMU's going to be interesting because I would maybe pick them in the ACC championship because they have the experience of, you know, their quarterback and their coach were in that game last year. They just didn't show up against Clemson. They've got Louisville and Cal. So that Louisville win doesn't look nearly as good because they blew that game to Clemson. And I think that's what happens here is that the ACC's beat each other up to the point where only two teams look good. And I don't think Miami can squeeze in. I really don't think that SMU can get in unless they get help here, which would be probably Virginia losing to Virginia Tech. But, you know, I don't think Miami's going to get lucky. I really don't. They are going to say at the end of the season, well, we have two losses. Notre Dame has two losses, and we beat them head-to-head. But the loss to Louisville, the loss to SMU, I think the committee will just say the ACC is not good enough for you to have two losses inside of conference play. And then you look at the Sun Belt with JMU, and they absolutely control their own destiny now. They looked great against App State, 58-10. They will host Washington State with everything on the line. and then they will go to Coastal. If they win out and win the Sun Belt, I think JMU dances into the 12-team college football playoffs here in year two for Bob Chesney. How wild would that be if you got JMU against Indiana, coached by their former head coach, Kurt Cignetti? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. There are reports coming out that Virginia Tech is entered talks with James Franklin. This is perfect. This is the awesome home run hire. This is as good as it gets for Virginia Tech. A guy that was at a Power 4 level and won at Penn State. And you can say all you want about how he didn't win the big game at Virginia Tech. They will play in the big game under James Franklin. Whether that be an ACC championship or a college football playoff, he will recruit the DMV to an all-star level like he has in the last 10 years, and he will make the Hokies relevant again immediately. This is an awesome hire. I can't believe they're going to get this done. It surprised me that he wouldn't want, you know, a job elsewhere, maybe in the SEC or back in the Big Ten. But if things fall in place like they feel like they're going to right now, I think James Franklin will get hired, and I think this is going to be awesome for Virginia Tech. And the next thing is the full commitment to the money that it will take to win for James Franklin in Blacksburg. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for VCU basketball. Every game can be heard 9:10 a.m. 105.1 FM. And if you've been watching games on TV this year, you might have heard the voice of Ed Nixon, who joins us right now in the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning hot seat. What's up, Ed?
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I will tell you right now, so many people always reach out to me and say, Ed Nixon is fantastic. on the color. And it's not just because you represent VCU and the Final Four, but you've grown and you've gotten better throughout your time doing it, man.
Well, that's good to hear. I've been trying to increase my knowledge, increase my performance, you know, and I do a good job. Especially got to give a shout out to Sean Robertson, who always been there coaching me up. So I'm glad that people are enjoying.
So it feels like, you know, just a few months ago, we were talking about Ryan Odom's squad, right?
Right.
And the A-10 championship. And then I was out in Denver for their battle against BYU. And then it was like, all right, they lose, then he's gone. And then they begin a coaching search. And in comes Coach Phil Martelli Jr. And I know you're very familiar with his dad from the work he did
right.
at St. Joe's. You probably had some games against him. What are your first couple impressions of Coach Martelli Jr.?
Well, to take it back, when he first got the hire, you know, I was unfamiliar with Coach Martelli. I wasn't paying attention to Bryant. You know what I mean? When we were looking at coaches, I was more so focused on maybe Darius Theis to get the job. You know, so he kind of came out of left field for me. But once I found out who he was and some of his background and the family lineage he has, it was like, oh, this would be a great hire. And then when I got to meet him and see him coach and see how locked in and determined he is, he kind of reminds me of Shaka in a sense, but he's a little more, he's a mixture between Shaka and Coach Grant.
Mm, okay. He reminded me a little bit of Shaka as well with the determination and the energy that he brings. He keeps preaching competition. And I'll tell you, I've been so impressed with the roster that he's put together here
oh, yes.
in year one, right? I mean, it's so tough when you come over and feels like you have to bring a team with you. And he was able to bring two from Bryant and Barry Evans and Keyshawn Mitchell. But the talent that they brought in here in the transfer portal is so exciting.
Absolutely. They're at least 10 deep. And I imagine they could go deeper if they really wanted to. But for the cohesiveness of a team and for lineups purpose, you got to have a limit. You got to put a cap on it. Get those other guys prepared just in case of injuries, anything like that. However, this team is extremely deep. They're extremely talented, and they have a bunch of guys that can do a lot of different things. So a very versatile roster as well.
Here with Ed Nixon, I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. The 2-1 VCU Rams travel to Raleigh to take on 3-0 NC State Wolfpack, coached by Will Wade. We'll preview the game, but you know, coming into this season, so much newness for VCU, the tough thing was going to be for them to develop team chemistry.
Right.
Three games into the season, I know a lot of fans will say another year of another missed opportunity to get a big win in non-conference play with the neutral site loss to Utah State that came down to the wire, but another big opportunity tonight. You know, when you look at this schedule, when it came out, how many opportunities did you see for VCU to really build their resume?
Well, you know, they had the tournament in Bahamas. Utah State was definitely an opportunity. NC State is going to be a great opportunity. So you just got to cash in on at least two or three of these games.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they'll set themselves up to have some success down the road. Now, the Utah State game, I do want to touch on that a little bit because I know a lot of fans were in the dumps about it. However, you have to look at the nuances to Utah State. They had a lot of returning guys. They're an older team. They had two 25-year-olds on their team. So it's one of those things where – or excuse me, 24. Same difference. But it's one of those things where you're dealing with an experienced team compared to a team that's pretty much brand new and playing that level of competition. And Utah State is a good team, not just an experienced team. They're a good team. They ran a matchup zone that gave VCU a little bit of trouble. And what you can take from that is they were down 20, and they fought back with this newness.
Yeah.
So the competitiveness is there, and when you have that competitiveness, you're going to be able to compete in games. And I think with the talent level they have, they're going to be able to upset some people as well.
Yeah, and maybe I'll speak for the fan base when I'll say what was upsetting about that loss was those two schools have mirrored each other so closely over the last 5 or 10 years. They've had success in the Mountain West. We've had success in the A-10. We took their coach. I think a lot of VCU fans thought we were the better program. We should beat Utah State. But you mentioned the returners they had. To me, that was the difference, was they knew what they were doing defensively. Maybe not on offense, they had to figure it out. But their defense was locked in because those guys knew what they were supposed to do.
Absolutely. If you watched just the first half of that game and the beginning of the second half, they had VCU shaken. You know, they didn't, like, The driving lanes that are usually open weren't open. They were doing a really good job of communicating and cutting off the passes. So we found VCU found their, a lot of their time passing the ball around the perimeter, jacking up threes. Now, don't get me wrong, VCU is capable of knocking down threes, getting hot, and shooting somebody out of the gym. However, it starts with good penetration and kick out and then swing the ball around. But they weren't able to get penetration, which limited their opportunities to get quality threes.
And the Rams returned home and got a win over St. Peter's to set up this monster matchup in non-con against an ACC opponent in NC State. But in that St. Peter's game, you saw Lazar Djokovic come back. He looked like himself again. I do think that that was probably the biggest difference in the Utah State game, is that our star center got hurt and missed a lot of the action in that one. But this offense, they get up and down the court. The tempo of the offense has been really awesome to watch. And I got to say, I've been impressed with the defensive side of the ball as well.
Absolutely. I still believe they have a lot of work to do on the defensive end. I think they have the athleticism to contest once they get beat, because you have Lazar back there. And then if Lazar doesn't get, you have somebody like Barry Evans or Tracy coming around to get a block or something like that, or the pesky hands of Brandon Jennings. So they do have the ability to recover. But I think initial defense, guarding our man, I think we can do a better job, because we do give up a lot of points in the paints where we shouldn't.
Yeah,
and that's going to be key moving forward, especially playing NC State.
What have you seen from the Coach Phil Martelli Jr. offense for VCU?
I like the freedom that the guys have. If I was a player, I would love to play in this system. Now, with that, you have to find the right type of guys, the guys that love to share the ball, the guys that love to play the right way. And we do have those guys, and we also have guys that can break off from a play and create shots for themselves. Tracy has really surprised me with his ability to make shots and drive to the cup.
I'm interested why you were surprised by that. Like, I thought, look at where he's been. He was playing major minutes at Oregon. He's been everything I expected. Like, he's the most experienced guy. I think he's the most confident to take the big shot.
Yes, I do agree. He comes from a high-level basketball, but he's asked to be the leader now, opposed to being a role player. Some guys are great within their role, but when you ask them to put it into a leadership role, in a scoring leadership role, it's a little bit different. So do I think he could do it? Yes, but to initially do it and as quickly as he's done it has been impressive.
Nick Lewis is a true freshman and starting at VCU. And not that often that you get that. I mean, Bones Highland started. Mm-hmm. I think Travion Graham started some games as a freshman as well.
Brad Burgess.
Yeah, but you look at what Nick Lewis is doing here as a true freshman. I mean, it's really incredible to watch. He doesn't look like a freshman. He looks like a leader out there, mm-hmm. as the team's point guard. And I think his offensive game is going to grow, too.
Absolutely. Nick is extremely talented. And quick story about Nick. So before he signed to Xavier, he was just a really good basketball player. I went to a potluck or something or other. It was around March, and one of my friends had invited me. And I'm sitting there talking to this guy. He's like, hey, my nephew's really good at basketball. And I'm like, everybody says that. I'm like, okay, whatever. He says, no, seriously, he's really good. He sends me his IG stuff. So I look at him, I was like, oh, he is pretty good. He got some pretty good offers. He's like, you know, he might come to VCU. He's interested in VCU. I said, this guy's – let me text Darius. This is a while ago. So I text Darius, and said, hey, look at this guy. He said – Darius texted back, hey, do you know who this is? I said, nah. He said, he ain't coming here. So I tell the uncle, he's like, man, we have a lot of family down here. He might come. So just to see that, that's the conversation, and it ends up leading to him signing to Xavier and decommitting and coming here and now being able to start, which is it's tough to do as a freshman regardless. But the Ahmad Noel and Terrence Hill that were already here, that battle of the point guard was something I was talking about from the very beginning of the summer, and to see that Nick is the one who pulled through to get the starting position says a lot about his game.
Yeah, and I've been talking with my friends about the amount of guards that VCU has, and each position, each guy is best at playing. I want to get your thoughts on them. So, like, Brandon Jennings, can he be this team's point guard, or is he better off balls, a slasher, than a guy like Nick Lewis or Ahmad Noel?
Brandon Jennings is one of those special players where you can put him anywhere. He's going to end up being something like Vince Williams, where, yeah, he's going to have the ball in his hands. He can initiate the offense. However, you can put him in a number of different spots, and he'll still be as effective. He'll score for you. He'll rebound for you. He'll assist for you. He'll steal for you. So he's going to be flirting with a triple-double all year.
Yeah, because I do think, and what's nice about Phil Martelli Jr.'s offense is whoever gets it, they run. you know, they're the point guard for that possession there. And I think that's why I like Brandon Jennings to be the guy with the ball, because I think he can really push it in transition. He could go coast to coast. But Nick Lewis, it does seem to really be able to be that unselfish player that can set up his teammates. And then I think Terrence Hill can really come in and be a scorer. Yeah. And then Ahmad Noel is just so impressive to me on the defensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. Now, I wasn't expecting that either. I knew that he was coming in here, coming from UConn. I expected him to be a big-time scorer. But he's really impressed me with his defensive intensity. There's a couple times where I see his intensity just pressuring the ball has caused people to turn it over. Or there was one play – he pressed the ball so well that the dude was about to fall backcourt, and he just threw it.
Yeah.
And threw it straight out of bounds. So all these different guys adding a little bit of different spice to the gumbo is really helping.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different guys that have different talents. It's all about coming together as a team rather than, you know, a collective unit of individuals. Game tonight, VCU at NC State. We'll preview it with Ed Nixon here on AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up? It's AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, bringing you closer to the action. We are previewing VCU at NC State. I'll be in the building, and you can hear me on the pregame coverage. 6:15 is when the pregame show will start, the Good Feet Store tip-off show, before we hand it off to Robbie Robinson and Rodney Ashby. If you've been watching VCU games this year, you've been hearing Sean Robertson alongside Ed Nixon, and Ed's with us right now in the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning hot seat. You ready to preview NC State hosting
yes,
VCU?
Yes, sir. I circled this game when the schedule came out. I'm excited that we're here now.
So let's rewind. So your time at VCU, Coach Anthony Grant, and right. then Coach Shaka Smart.
Right.
What was your relationship with assistant coach Will Wade?
Will Wade was always like a unk in a sense. he was like an unk in a sense. He never really got on you too much. He always was about winning. He did what it took. He did what it takes to connect to the players.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that he almost approaches college basketball as a business mindset. Like, I'm looking at guys that produce X, Y, and Z, and then I can figure out how to make everything work. He's really like an evil scientist.
So he was able to relate with the players, because I think that looking at him, that seems like something he would struggle with.
Right, you would think so. But Will is real cool, man. He's real cool. He has a way about him that he can relate, and how he talks and the way he explains things is really unique how he does it. I tell you what, when he was every game is assigned to an assistant coach that has the lead scout, and then the head coach is the final call maker of everything. When Will Wade would go up and go over his scouting report, I never felt more comfortable. I never felt more like, okay, I understand. Not to mention, we had an all-star team of coaches on that staff. But there was something about how Will Wade made it seem. He's like, this guy is not going to do this, and he wouldn't do it. You know, especially for me, I was a defensive player, so I wanted to be really dialed in. Okay, what can I do to take this away? He's like, this, this, and this, and you'll be fine. Trust me. You know what I mean? So he's really good at scouting reports, and also what I will say he's really great at is recruiting. So NC State is going to be stacked. He's going to have all the guys that do the right things. And it shows that he's a winner. And you can look at the paper trail, pun intended. You can look at the paper trail and see that, you know, he knows what it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked to Will Wade at ACC tip-off here on 910 The Fan. I thought it was interesting when he said he appreciated everything about VCU as an assistant. He didn't appreciate it as much as a coach. He was looking forward to the next job. And so he leaves VCU as an assistant to become the head coach at Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And then came back to VCU, was here for 2 years before he bolted to at LSU. But he had a lot of success here during his time at VCU.
Absolutely. Like I said, he is a mastermind recruiter, mastermind at breaking down film. And again, you don't get these kind of players. You don't get this talent of players if you can't connect, right? Like, there's money everywhere. All this, like the NIL, the transfer portal, there's nothing holding you to any school, any coach, nothing. The coach has to be special. The coach has to work hard. The coach has to know how to connect. And I think Will Wade has done a really good job wherever he's been. Even at McNeese, he had McNeese in the tournament 2 years in a row, came into VCU and beat VCU with the talent. We had NBA players on that team.
Yeah.
And he came in here and won. So he just is, and he wasn't even in the building. He wasn't even in the building. So the guy just knows what to do, man. Shout out to Will Wade.
Yep. And so what's interesting is the relationship that he has with his fan base, where when he left for LSU, he was the snake.
Yep.
He was one of the most hated coaches that we've had here of all the coaches that have left. Nobody, it seemed like, hated on Grant or Jeff Capel or Shaka the way they hated on Will Wade. And then even at LSU, he started to get some national hate as he, you know, got into the hot waters there with, you know, everything that went on behind the scenes at LSU. But the way he built up McNeese, I think it made everybody realize that there is a special relationship between a head coach and a community. Everybody knew he was leaving McNeese, but they still made the most of that season.
Absolutely. And I understand that he didn't necessarily leave in the most positive way here, saying he wasn't going to go. The next thing you know, he's on the plane.
Yeah.
But sometimes money can change the talk. You know what I mean? We haven't been, like, most people haven't been in those shoes before where you want to stay somewhere. But again, there's an LSU opportunity and they're throwing three times the money at you. And you really get to have your hands in everything. That's a different type of excitement. And if you're a coach, if you're a player, you're always striving to exceed and go to the next level. And I think that he handled it the wrong way, but again, he was a young man at that time. Everybody makes mistakes.
And time heals all wounds. I mean,
absolutely. So
if you're a VCU fan, yeah, Will Wade burned us. Well, so did everybody else,
yeah.
Because it's a pattern now of coaches coming and going. How would you describe his coaching style?
I would say his coaching style is exact. There's no fat. You know, when you, like, if you was a butcher, you know you're gonna get the cleanest slab of ribs. Everything's gonna be, all the fat that's unnecessary is gonna be cut off. He is direct and to the point. There's no wiggle room for misunderstanding. He's absolute when it comes to coaching.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, he's gonna have a good scouting report for the VCU Rams. So let's break down this matchup here. I just think Will Wade's going to do a good job of, first off, getting his guys back on defense and limiting the fast break points for VCU.
Right. I think if you want to have success against VCU, you want to limit our transition opportunities. We have guys that are specialists in transition, like Barry Evans. Barry Evans, which I do believe if he doesn't have a good game, I don't think VCU is going to come out of here successful. But he's one of those guys that he lives in transition. He can really score in transition. He can create it on the defensive end by stealing the ball. He can grab a defensive board and go back. He's an excellent rebounder. So if they can limit that, they kind of limit Barry. You know what I mean? I think Barry can catch and shoot, but half court isn't his specialty. I think he's better in transition. He's a big part to VCU.
Yeah, VCU's got to force some live ball turnovers and limit the live ball turnovers ourselves here. And then, you know, it feels like a lot of college basketball games you can point to two big things: three-pointers and rebounding.
Absolutely.
Can the VCU Rams control the glass against this NC State team that's tall, they're athletic, they've got length?
Absolutely. It's about a want to and a will. You know, back in my day, we had to play ODU, and we knew offense started once they missed, because the first shot was going to miss.
That's,
you know,
a good line.
But it started after their first miss, because they had big athletic guys, and if you did not focus on hitting first,
yeah,
you're going to get punished. And that's going to be the big thing for VCU: hit first. It's either you hit or you get hit. So hit first, get the board, and if you get clean rebounds, you can get out in transition. If you don't get clean rebounds, there's no transition. Now you got to go against their half-court defense.
You look at NC State, and 2 years ago, they make a miraculous run to the Final Four. Last year, coach gets fired, so Will Wade comes in, and he's kind of had to retool that roster, but they are loaded with talent, and they're 3-0 to start the season.
Not only are they 3-0, they're putting up 106 points per game. That is extraordinary. And are they playing the best of teams? No, but UNC Greensboro isn't a laughing matter. They're not, you know what I mean? They're not Wagner, who has all JUCO and D2 transfers. That's an established D1 team, and they went in there and whacked them without their starting point guard, who got ejected early in the game. So NC State is deep, and they have two guys right now that's averaging over 20. You know, so they have guys that can really score. What's his name? Williams.
Yeah.
Darian Williams. He's shooting over 60% from the field and over 65% from 3-point line right now. Now, can he hold that up for the whole season? I don't believe so. But as of right now, he's playing incredible basketball.
Yeah, I think VCU is going to have to play better on defense than they have to start this season. It's not that it's been bad, but they're going to have to take their defense to a new height. And this is not like an ACC opponent we played last year in Boston College. Like, this is one of the top ACC teams. I think they will finish probably top six in the conference.
Absolutely. I mean, the sky's the limit for them. You know, you really don't know until you know. You get these guys from out of transfer portals who play different roles, and you got to plug them in. And like I said, with Will Wade, he's going to be so direct in describing your role and what he expects from you, and he's going to make sure that you have everything you need to be successful. So I don't see them – I see them top four and possibly being top 25 ranked.
So Coach Martelli Jr. and his staff will have a good game plan in place for tonight's matchup. Let's focus on us. Okay. What can VCU control in tonight's game?
They can win the points in the paint battle. I think that's always key. That's my favorite stat. Because if you're winning the points in the paint, that means you're getting paint touches. You're being the aggressor. You're getting paint touches, which leads to better three-point opportunities, which means you're being more physical because you're getting downhill or you're getting second-chance points. I think that's going to be the number one thing. And then also just being able to contain their hot shooting for NC State.
Yeah. To me, I look at, can VCU, kind of like what you're saying, points in the paint, dribble penetration. Mm-hmm. Can we beat our first man, and then all of a sudden it's 5-on-4, and we're setting things up here. At times, the ball movement has been really good around the outside, and then at times it's been a lot of one-on-one dribbling, but that might have just been the zone defense that Utah State played.
Yeah, the matchup zone is tricky to go against. You know, you have to find a way to get penetration. You have to have the guys moving in the right space at the right time to really have success against that. But the thing about this VCU team is they have the skills, they have the skill set and skill guys to get into the paint and create that. But I think the biggest thing that I've seen that VCU needs to focus on is focus. They had too many lapses on defense where offense they just become nonchalant. Now this is going to be a high pressure game, so it's going to be easier to stay locked in, but you don't want to build bad habits, and we can only go off what we've seen.
Yeah, we can't have a 4-minute stretch where we can't score the ball on offense and we're giving up too many layups on the defensive side of the ball. A key for me tonight, and I think you're so right about Barry Evans needs to have a good game for VCU.
Right.
Tyrell Ward needs to be a difference maker for the Rams in this one. I think he is our, probably, you know, statistically one of our best three-point shooters, but what I love is him high-flying above the rim. When he can get dunks and layups for us, that means we have good ball movement on offense.
Absolutely. Tyrell Ward is one of those guys where you're really lucky to have him, one. And then you're really lucky to have him as like a sixth man. You know, that really says a lot about your team because he can go to a lot of places and start.
Yeah.
And he brings shooting. He brings energy. And I didn't know he had all that athleticism in his bag.
Right.
But now he'll put it on your head, too. So it's really good to see him be an impact player for the black and gold. And I think he's going to be important. I think all the guys are going to be important. Terrence Hill cannot come in there and be shy. You know, we're going to need 9 to 10 points out of Terrence Hill tonight if we want to be successful.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, he's had a lot more confidence in his outside shot this season. And it makes sense. Like, guys stuck around here at VCU for these opportunities. He's going to try to make the most of that. So I'm with you on Hill. I think we need Brandon Jennings to get some points in transition. Tracy needs to hit some big shots here. And then I think Lazar Djokovic, who I've been calling Godzilla, needs to be a monster in the paint.
Yeah, and I think he can. Now, this is going to be a real test for him.
This is probably going to be the toughest opponent he'll face for a while.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Utah State game was a little different. The matchup zone is not really a one-on-one, a mano-a-mano thing. But I do want to see how he plays against another physical big that is going to be around the same size, you know, and competitive, has the same skill set. How will he respond to that? And if he responds in the right way, VCU is going to put themselves in a position where they can win this game.
Yeah. When he's aggressive, he's been like Shulga Light with his ability to draw fouls.
Right.
He's been drawing 3 or 4 fouls a game when he's aggressive. You need him to be aggressive tonight. Ed, always appreciate you stopping by. It's going to be a big one tonight, man.
Absolutely. I cannot wait. I might drive down. We'll see.
Tell us a little bit about all the coverage that you're doing for VCU outside of calling games with Sean Robertson.
So another shout out to Sean Robertson. So I've been doing that. I also going to be hosting some watch parties coming up soon. So stay tuned to that. I'll be putting out more information on my Instagram and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm a little bit everywhere, man. I do my own thing, coverage on my IG in the Kitchen 50. So if you don't follow me, follow me. Yeah, other than that, man, I'm just around.
All right, that's Ed Nixon from the VCU Final Four squad. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.